Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the 1976 presidential election, Jimmy Carter mentioned in a very interesting interview, which included his admitting that he had lusted in his heart, that he was born again. When that particular magazine hit the newsstands, it seemed as though every other person in the United States of America wanted to know what in the world this Christian descriptor, born again, meant. Needless to say, people, even the most well-meaning Christians, can get pretty creative with their definitions when it comes to born again. Frederick Dale Bruner, in his outstanding contribution to the field of study of the Holy Spirit, warned that the historical tendencies about born again have included putting too much on individual remarkable experiences and subjectivism, and creating rigorous evidences that one has received such a status through strict spiritual obedience. So what does it mean to be born again? If anything is clear in our gospel text this morning from John 3, it's that the well-trained Pharisee Nicodemus was utterly clueless. Jesus said plainly at verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To which, with his head spinning, Nicodemus complained in the form of a question. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? Who could blame poor Nicodemus? Surely, he was speaking for most people, right? Jesus seemed to be speaking in riddles. It is, however, important to note under what circumstances Nicodemus had come to Jesus Christ. Our text says at verse 2 that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. By nature, we are like Nicodemus. It isn't cool to be too far out in the open or in the day about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Furthermore, and let's be honest, much of what he says, this is the way our flesh looks at it anyway, as recorded in Scripture, seems irrelevant, confusing, or at times unreasonable and just plain impossible. For example, how can a person be born again? Okay, well, let's take a closer look at what our Lord is saying here. In the original language here at John 3:3, that word anothen can be legitimately translated as from above. Jesus' message is quite simple. Just leave it to everyone else to make it overly complicated. Born again means born from above. That is, we are all born in a physical sense. Now we need to be born in a spiritual sense. Our earthly mother gave birth to us physically. God, who is from above, must give birth to us spiritually. Jesus is saying that unless we are spiritually born by God, that we cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. The word see in this verse means experience. That is, we're not speaking of empirical observation. As you sit there this morning, you can see the physical altar before your eyes. But here we're speaking of spiritual or inward experience. There is something indeed that we experience when the kingdom of God is our guide, and it produces in us, as our formula of concord says in our Lutheran confessions, another heart, mind, and natural desire. Doesn't mean that your sinful nature doesn't produce all the things of the sinful nature. Of course it does. But the spiritual nature is now given to you, and you have another set of decisions, thoughts, and desires wrought by the Holy Spirit. God impacts our heart. That is, He impacts our choices about how we're going to live. Like your choice to come to church this morning. B, God impacts our mind. That is, our thoughts that fill our mind. I should forgive. I ought to pray. I want Jesus. C, God impacts our soul. That is, our desire and the things that we strive for in life. And thirdly, what exactly do we mean by the kingdom of God itself? That means we experience the reign of God in our lives as our king and as our leader. We sing a hymn that way, Christ be our leader. So here is the total translation, which is a theological one, of what Jesus one day said to Nicodemus, who came in darkness according to that time of day, but who also came in spiritual darkness according to the condition of his soul at the time. And Jesus spoke in all love and compassion. Here is the theological translation. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, spiritually born from God, he cannot experience, truly know in his heart, mind, and soul, impacting your choices, thoughts, and desires, the reign of God, the leading of God in your life. That's what Jesus said. But he didn't leave us hanging there. He went on to explain how at verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in saying this, Jesus unlocked the door to heaven for every single one of us here today. It is the door of the Lord's Word and Holy Sacraments. It is like holy baptism, that which the Lord locates as the where he opens the kingdom and gives birth from above, and how he sustains your new life. So I've encountered sincere souls over the years confessing to me that they don't get it. They can't will themselves to have faith. They don't know how to snap their fingers and arrive to a spiritual born-again experience. Well, I respond to them, sometimes much to their surprise, that they speak truth, because there's nothing that we can do to control the Holy Spirit. We can't follow the four steps or the 10 principles. We don't train or discipline ourselves into the kingdom of God. We don't open ourselves up to do XYZ for Jesus. We don't wait to get zapped by lightning or to have visions. We have but one calling in this regard. Take Jesus at his word. It is Jesus who has unlocked heaven by giving us baptism and the baptismal life that follows it. That is, he tells us where the Spirit will come to us and how the Spirit will abide in us. The where of the Spirit is where holy baptism is administered. And in this great washing away of sins, you and I are totally passive, but the Holy Spirit is powerfully active. He does the work. He creates the new creation. By way of analogy, when you were born from your mom and the doctor said, push, he wasn't talking to you. You were passive, mom was active. The one being born does nothing. But the one birthing does it all. By ensuring your passivity in this new birth, it is God's way of saying, I'm not calling you to do or give or figure out or jump through hoops. I'm calling you to receive my good and gracious gifts, which I impart upon you. But surely there must be something that accompanies holy baptism that indicates how the Holy Spirit is in us. It's true. Our lives begin to change. Oh, I'm not talking about becoming some super saint that's less sinner who thinks themselves better than other people, because we never are. But I'm speaking of God's way of describing the Spirit's abiding in us. Just a few verses after John 16, our Lord Jesus said this at John 3:21. I wish they had included it in our pericope. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out by God. The born again child of God does what is true. The born again child of God comes to the light. I love this quote from St. Augustine. When CPH and Dr. Mueller, as a major editor for the Lutheran Study Bible, permitted me to contribute the study notes to John chapter 1 through 5, they left this suggestion that I offered to them, St. Augustine's quotation, which is in the Lutheran Study Bible. He that does truth accuses his evil works in himself, spares not himself, forgives not himself, that God may forgive him. For that which he desires God to forgive, he himself acknowledges, and he comes to the light, to which he is thankful for showing him what he should hate in himself. And what is that light that shows you to accuse yourself? It is the Word of God, and in John's Gospel, it is the Christ himself, referring to his work in the broad sense. This is how you know that the Spirit of God lives in you. You abide in the light, and the law in that light causes you to despise yourself. And the gospel in that light causes you to know that God loves you more than anything. Nothing causes us to hate more than God's word. Amos 5:15, hate evil, even and especially the evil within yourself. But on the other hand, nothing fills us with love more than God's word, knowing that we are unconditionally loved and how that love overflows. So one part drives you away from yourself, and the other part drives you to Jesus. It is in this light of the gospel, and in the gospel alone, that the Christian takes comfort. This is a sign of the Spirit's work, forsaking yourself and holding only to Jesus. This truth and this life, light, is a sign of the one who is born again. How did it all begin for you? You were baptized. And how do you remain in this miraculous flood? By sticking to the truth. Only sinners need their sins washed away. So I will gladly confess, therefore, that that is what I am. But how is this known? Through the light of Christ's word. And through this light, dear Christian, hear the truth. You've been baptized. The Spirit has been poured out upon you. You are born again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. Please remain seated. we were able to contemplate our own confession.